Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Welcome to the after show for The Flash, season 5, episode 9, Elseworlds Part 1. So we're talking Arrow and Flash Switch, You're My Lightning Rod, and Amazo's Got to Go, plus DC Universe highlights and news and gossip. Let's get into it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Brought me back.
Yes, to the good times. Hey guys, and welcome to the after show for The Flash. We're talking the Elseworlds Part 1 today, and we're super excited. We got Arrow and Flash. They woke up with this freaky Friday switched places things going on. You're My Lightning Rod moments, and Amazo has got to go. So, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am your host, Jamie Alexander, and we don't have Drew today, but instead we have...
Jorge Payo. What's up, guys?
Hey, y'all, it's Chance K. Robinson.
What's going on, guys? It's Zach Silverman here.
All right, Drew, we miss you, but we are moving forward with talking about this episode. So, Elseworlds Part 1, what do we think of the episode overall as a whole, guys? I know you were loving it, Zach. You were glued.
I am speechless. I have no notes. Because
honestly, I just can't wait to watch it again.
You're gonna watch it?
Yeah, I'm gonna rewatch. Okay. Of course, I'm gonna watch it on my bigger screen.
You gotta look for all those Easter eggs.
Oh yeah,
there were definitely a lot.
There's a lot of stuff that I didn't catch. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be pausing and slow motion.
Yeah, I really liked it. There were a lot of strong moments in there, especially Iris's central character kind of needing to be there to kind of get things going, which was great because sometimes that's not the role she always gets to play in the crossovers. Mm-hmm. So I was very happy about that. Other stuff, I we'll get into it, but yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what about you, Zach? I mean, I know you were glued and you couldn't watch, but what do you think? What are your thoughts about it overall?
Thoughts? I mean, I think it's one of the stronger... crossover beginnings that we've had thus far for the prior seasons. I've enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was great, very interesting, and I learned a lot. So why don't we jump into this whole switching places thing? It was a little awkward seeing Arrow wake up next to Iris and all of that lovey-doveyness. You know, she's cooking and talking to him. He's lost. What do we think about the switching places of Flash and Arrow?
Well, kind of strange seeing Stephen Amell well lit, you know?
Yeah.
Not in darkness.
Usually.
And having to smile, but wild.
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought to myself that it was one of those things. I'm like, well, if Iris is cooking well, then we already know something's wrong.
Oh my gosh, the exact same thing.
Because she said it's perfect this time. I'm like, this is wrong. Yeah. This Iris does not know how to cook in any world.
All of these games, that's amazing. Right? I was like,
that's what's really wrong here. Not that Oliver woke up in bed.
Right.
But it was cute, like the way Oliver was kind of doing Barry's mannerisms, like with the smile and stuff like that. It was a cute moment. And that kiss. Now, he did ask that one question. When Iris kissed him, he didn't say, what are you doing? He said, what if Barry walks in? Which is kind of to Oliver's character because he used to cheat a lot. So I'm not too surprised.
Okay. I did not know that.
I didn't know he was a cheater.
All right.
Oh, scandalous. Okay.
It's just Tuesday for him, maybe.
No, but it was another nod. Not yet. Ralph said that.
Yeah, no, I thought it was fun. I don't even know what to say. I really like both characters, but to watch them switch took a lot to get used to. And it was hard to watch Iris love on him like that because it was just all very confusing.
So I think it was hard for Iris to fit when she realized who he was and what was actually happening to Barry, that he was turning into him, that was even harder too.
Yeah, I do like that moment where, well, you know, we can talk about that. That moment where she said she was listening with her heart and not her eyes and ears so much, you know, that was a very powerful moment for a lot of reasons. And she's very trustworthy when it
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Comes to things like that. So how did that moment hit you guys?
I think it was great. I mean, I think it was you who touched on it, that love is going to be a theme kind of that's going to push everyone to get to where they need to go to. And it just rings through with the show and with what Barry and Iris always have been and mm-hmm. how they always come through it because of their love for each other. Mm-hmm. It's touching.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the things sometimes with superhero shows, some people can feel like, oh, love plots and whatnot distract and things of that nature. And one of the great things about The Flash is that they interweave, like, the whole idea of friendships, of bonds. I mean, they kind of made fun of it a little bit in this episode, which was very funny. Like, the whole thing, like, you want to talk? Let's give some hugs. Things of that nature.
Oh, let's go out into the hallway. Synonymous for
like,
the talk.
And how, yeah. And it just showed the contrast, too. Because, you know, Oliver's just like, why are you guys so close to here right now? Like, what's going on? But that's just how they function. And it really just exemplified that in this episode, just how much emotion is with with Team Flash, of how they all go about interacting with each other.
Oh, when Cisco hugged Oliver Flash. That was a golden moment. Ollie Flash. He was like, what are you doing?
What is this?
Why are you touching me?
Which shows so that deep contrast, which is, I like that so much. Because it shows, I mean, if you are someone who watches Arrow or whatnot mm-hmm. and kind of see, maybe that's a different dynamic. I don't watch it faithfully, mm-hmm. Arrows, but it was very obvious for Oliver that's just not a thing.
I do watch Arrow, and it was actually really interesting because then you do see the juxtaposition happen when Barry wakes up in Argus and he's getting beat up by Dig, and Dig is like, I'm kicking your butt right now. What do you think I'm doing?
And he's just like, oh, and he's,
this is not my family. not my fam, no.
Exactly. And from what I know of Arrow, he's always so strong and controlled and like mm-hmm. dark. And, you know, so it was nice to see him.
This city.
Exactly. That voice. But so it was nice to see him kind of fumble around the apartment, figure out what phasing was like, and just being a little bit lost and feeling brand new and not so under control.
It was
so
cool because there's so many nods to like season one of Flash, of all the little things that he had to get used to.
Yes.
And like running into things mm-hmm. and when he was learning about phasing. It was so reminiscent, and I've been meaning to want to do this and go back and rewatch season one just because it was a great season. But this is pushing me further to do that now because I remember watching Barry and like him fumbling and trying to figure things out. It's fun to see Stephen Amell do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like in when he passed the Ivo Laboratories by 18 blocks.
Right. Yeah. Barry did that with, I don't remember what, but he definitely did something along those lines.
He's done something along those lines. Getting shot in the back with the automatic crossbow. Love that part. That was retribution. That was justice right there.
And it was so Barry, too, again, just being playful and silly. Like, oh, I knew he couldn't wait to do that. And I was kind of excited for him because I remember that moment back in whatever, season one or two, where Arrow got him. And he was giving him that tough love, which he needed. But good. He was able to get that back. So let's talk about when, you know, he passed Ivo Labs. And then when he got in there, he was so clumsy. That he's, you know, he figured out how to throw the lightning rod and whatnot, but then threw it in the wrong spot and just awakened this creature.
It's beast of a monster. It's a computer. Ivo.
Yeah, you know, Arrow was giving me...
Amazo.
Yeah. Yeah, Arrow was giving me a little bit of Nora vibes with his, oh my God, you're like, what just happened? I just messed up the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, so, he got the two bad guys, but it was like a ricochet shot, right?
Yes.
Came in and then landed into the Amazo bot.
Which is funny because Oliver usually has great aim. And now as Flash, he does not.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's hilarious. Well, it was also kind of nice seeing Barry as Oliver Queen because as much as I love Barry and how soft and sweet and kind he is, it was nice to see him kind of be doing something different and have to learn with the arrows. He had fun. It was cool to, like, you know, punch Diggs, knock him out, and do all these things. So I like seeing that. So let's talk about the moment where, you know, the whole "you're my lightning rod." So now the Team Flash is trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with these guys and why they're so switched. And Nora gives them the nanites, and Ralph knocks out Arrow. So what do we think about Team Flash's random way of trying to solve this
doesn't
switch?
Doesn't seem like a Team Flash moment.
It didn't, right?
We're going to lock them up, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit more akin to it being like an Elseworld. So I'm like thinking, oh, maybe we're on another Earth. Obviously we're not. But it just didn't feel like something that they would do. I mean, if you were... There's a lot of smart people in that room that would... If two people are saying, hey, something's off and we're opposite people, I would think they would look into it a little bit more than what they had scans and stuff. Like, oh, nope, everything's fine. They must be, like, evil twins or something. Let's lock them up.
Let's lock them up, yeah.
Right, which is kind of... Yeah, which is kind of weird because they didn't even put this much effort into figuring out who Thomas Snow was. You know what I mean? They kind of let him in and did whatever, but now they're so super suspicious of Oliver and Barry. So that was, you know, a little bit weird.
We did get some nice... Oh, sorry, go ahead. No, mine's unimportant, but it's a funny thing. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I didn't think that. I mean, it kind of threw me off a little bit when she, like, drugged Oliver slash Barry. But it seemed like, I mean, where else would they put them in the sense of, you know, trying to figure this out, don't know what they're doing. Maybe there's some kind of psychosis going on. Who knows with their powers what they might do? Well, you put them in.
Yeah, but they put them in there to dampen...
To dampen their powers.
They didn't trust them. Like, they were doing it as if they're like, we need to find the real Barry and Oliver, like as if these were different people.
Yeah, they didn't believe them until Cisco started vibing the monitor, right?
Yeah.
When that was the whole, when he started vibing the monitor, that's when he started to figure out, oh yeah, I believe you guys too.
Well, along with when Iris walked in, like, you know, she went, and when she kind of let them out and was like, you know, I know that was my boo when he was talking to me because my heart could feel
him.
Yeah,
she got the feels.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, I guess you're right. It's like half and half. One, it was like, okay, that's not really Team Flash. But the other is like, at this point, with everything that's happened, maybe we should lock him up and find out what's going on. And you know how Arrow was like, I'm not saying that corny, you know, stuff to Iris. That's not how you get
a
girl.
I'm kind of glad he didn't. I almost thought he was going to walk up to her and like suck it up and just like, all right, let me try this.
Right.
I'm really happy he didn't.
Yeah. That would have been a little bit awkward.
What I do like, though, and I'll say this because I am I do watch Arrow and I am an Arrow fan, and watching this past season to see Stephen Amell, because he's been in prison for most of this season, and to see him out in the light and actually having to have a smile on his face was pretty nice. And I'm hoping this kind of like bleeds into, like, this is a nice lesson for Oliver Queen that sometimes he has to add a little levity to his life, because they were talking about how they had to start acting the parts in order
to
be.
Well, I mean,
it's the
same for Barry as well. He's too light in a lot of these things, and I feel like the chat was talking about how by then the Elseworlds, Barry will be more like Oliver and vice versa, and it'll help, I guess, the further the rest of their seasons.
It's gonna be a help, though. I mean, maybe. I mean, I always think Oliver needs to lighten up just in every incarnation I see him in. But I think with Barry, one of the great things about Barry is the fact that he can see the positive and stuff. I, you know, one of the things I read about, you know, this season and the whole thing of this characterization, this darkness, which Iris touches on. You know, Iris is looking at this like, I don't like the way you sound. I don't want you to do this.
Yep.
And so I don't think it's going to be a positive. And just reading what some of the executive producers have been saying about how Oliver, this kind of bleeding in him being this may cause some issues later down or whatever. It's like, yeah, this isn't good. And you saw that tonight, that I don't think it's good. Not for Barry.
Which I wouldn't mind, though, in further seasons, because, I mean, we have, like, the perfect relationship, the perfect couple now. Like, it's great seeing it now, but two more seasons, like, is it going to get old?
So but what is perfect?
Exactly, yeah.
What is perfect? I mean, we're so used to TV shows where everyone's so broken and it's so dark. It's nice when, you know, the issues are the metas or the outside thing and not necessarily the inside sometimes. Yeah. I think that's always been the great thing about The Flash, like the hugs and the cries and the
talks. That is true. Because on Arrow, their problems are dug deep inside.
I mean, that's great. I mean, it's not saying that's bad TV. It's just, it's different. It's a different way of storytelling with characters. That's all.
Yeah, and I'd have to agree with you, because the whole thing about them having the switch and then having to understand each other's side was that the way they are as individuals actually helped their powers and how they fight. So if Barry goes too Oliver, which I'm sure he wouldn't. A taste of it could be okay, but if he goes to Oliver, he won't run as fast, or he'll be thinking dark thoughts. Like, Barry needs to keep it light, Oliver needs to keep it dark. He was talking about how, you know, I've watched friends die and I've had to kill people to stay safe. That's not even Barry's MO. So,
no.
You know what I mean? I think, yeah, crossing over and doing too much of that might just cause a problem and maybe not really work.
It might be good for Arrow, not so much for the Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it just, I think this crossover really showed, if anything, kind of their characterization. And it's really funny that this crossover does that, because in past crossovers, such big stuff happening. And mm-hmm. there's big stuff happening this, because we saw in the beginning with Monitor, and I think his name was John
Deegan,
the doctor and stuff. So it's clearly something big is going on, but they chose this episode to more so get the basis of Barry and Oliver's kind of struggles of what makes them who they are as the superheroes that they are. And I'm sure that's going to play in to, you know, the rest of the crossover. So I enjoyed that. I just enjoyed them kind of switching spaces, and not just, oh, we're just switching, but like, you know, let's talk about what makes me the Arrow and what makes you the Flash, you know.
I'm sure the actors themselves had an amazing time with this as well. I mean, it's one thing to be able to play, like, you know, Grant Gustin, oh, I'm the Flash, and then Stephen Amell is the Arrow, these big heroes, and then to, like, At what point in their careers did they ever think, you know, I would like to play a different superhero? Because I know Grant Gustin is a huge fan of Superman. Mm-hmm. So, like, for him to not get to play him, but get to play a different superhero, I mean, how many times do you get to actually do that in your career and have fun with it? And, like, you're playing the opposite of your friend who you're actually doing. I think it's a cool...
Oh, they must be having a great time.
Yeah, they must be having a great time on set with this. And it's a great experience to have. So.
Yeah, even to be to have the scars made up, you know, going through that whole process, you know, and the tattoo and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must have been a lot
it's
of fun.
It's like stepping into their shoes. I mean, as actors, you step into other people's shoes, but now they're like stepping into another set of shoes, which is kind of funny. It's just like,
yeah. It's an inception of superhero shoes.
Yeah, this is your life on this show. It's cool.
I was actually going to say in the chat, thanks for joining us in the chat here, y'all, that Dance Root 2 actually said, can we talk about Felicity telling Iris how she really feels about what Oliver did, but they've skirted around it on Arrow? You probably, I don't know. Oh. Like, I mean, the Felicity, I don't want to talk about Felicity. I'm not going to do that. I don't hate them, y'all. I'm not.
There's no hate there. I mean, really, what happened was, he thought he was doing the right thing, but he homie messed up, really.
Yeah. And he realized it when Iris was getting on him. Like, she told him all that.
And they used that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Used it as a good plot point, and that's what I meant by it being that this is actually an opportunity for Oliver Queen to grow a little as a character, rather than constantly having to be in the darkness, you know. But this ain't the Arrow show; this is the Flash show.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we'll get some of that tomorrow.
But in that case, and yeah, I think him hearing that was actually very important for him to hear that from Iris. That because that was a complete surprise to him, and so this should be a growth moment for him.
Awesome. Some character stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Well, speaking of going into the depths and characters and such, Zach, you want to share a little something with us?
I do.
Yeah.
Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality, TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional, you know? So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll talk about it on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah. Shout out to Jasmine Jones, who always wants a shout out and has subscribed. Good luck on your finals tomorrow.
Yes,
good night.
Best of luck
with that.
Hey, can we just talk about
how epic that was?
That was so epic.
What's even more epic is we have an age-old question finally answered about the Flash. Where do you go to the bathroom in these tunnels? In these cells?
Oh, the prison, because they...
And how do you eat? Where's the food coming from? They Once they answer that, have they done that one?
They've done that one.
Well, we found out where they go to the bathroom, so I'm happy. I could die a happy man.
Yeah, they usually bring trays of Big Belly Burger. Is what
oh,
they do.
That's right. Yeah. I remember seeing all that. Okay, so the bathroom thing was the only thing that was bothering me.
I thought it was funny that Oliver made sure that they called it a prison because he was like, oh, this isn't, you know, and that has been a debate on this show.
Yes.
Because we've all wondered, like, yo, they just putting people away without a, you know, without any court proceedings. And it always came around. And so for them, they're like,
yeah, people just disappear, you know, like, what happened to that guy? Like, yeah, somewhere?
There was so much.
His family must be looking for him.
Yeah. Oh, he's just part of the pipeline. Yeah, no big deal.
That was funny.
No due process.
Right? Okay. And he's like, it's not really a prison. He's like, it's a prison.
Yeah. After he broke it down, oh, it just dampened your powers.
Like, okay, it's a prison. All right. We just lock people up forever here.
Yeah, okay. So maybe, Team Flash is running prison. Okay. I like to see, too, how they were trying to get out just the old school prison way. Like, flood the toilets. Like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Shawshanking genius, that. Like, high-tech, big lab wouldn't be able to like unflood a toilet, like, you know, they wouldn't prevent something like that
right
happen.
Exactly, like the plumbing's not together. Yeah, they got everything.
And in 4
else.
Years are the first two guys to come up with that.
I know, right?
Wait a minute,
plot holes.
Wait a minute.
Maybe he's the only one who knew how to detach his thumb in all the time.
Oh, well, that was fun.
Yeah, that was good.
That nasty thumb was gross. That was hilarious.
I thought that was really great.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, Arrow's used to being locked up, so he's like, this is what you do. And I love that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this Amazo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was kind of crazy, especially when he was taking on all the powers and his chest was changing. And, you know, they went to the Earth 38 to kind of not only get some peace and figure some things out, but try to see if, you know, people would recognize Barry for Barry and Oliver for Oliver. Then Cisco comes back and gets him because this robot is tearing up the city. What do we think about this character, if you will? This robot character.
Kind of fun. It was cool.
It was
so
cool.
Much fun.
Yeah. I mean, they had different interpretations of him throughout the comics, but I think this one, he was like more on the yellow-gold side. It was closest to, I can't remember if it was in Young Justice, that Amazo. Which was it? Justice League?
Which one?
One of the Justice Leagues in the 90 cartoon.
Justice League Unlimited?
With the red eyes.
Yeah, that was Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, so there was a nice throwback to that. So I was happy that they made him look like that as best as possible. Little bit of plot holes with it, but I'm okay. You
know? I don't know. That's another one that I'm just going to be rewinding and watching all over again, is that superhero fight between all of them. You know,
right.
especially the... Oliver Flash's speed run up through the construction site when Amazo's freezing everything
and then he like ended up under the rubble. Yeah.
Which was like, oh, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I think my question is, who created him?
The Ivo Labs,
Professor
right?
Ivo.
Professor Ivo.
Okay, but where was he? Was he dead?
Well, he was
hiding. Am I blanking somewhere?
I think they said that Argus had hired Ivo Labs to create something to track Metas, to sniff out Metas. And so Amazo was Ivo's creation for that.
And then he just...
They contracted him. That's the word I'm using.
Happened to put in the fact that he could scan genes and replicate? Why would that have been...
That was the Mirakuru serum. The Mirakuru serum was the thing that was helping him pump to copy the metahuman powers.
I don't remember
powers.
That one. Where is that? What was that serum from? What season?
That's actually from Arrow.
That's
the Mirakuru serum.
Okay.
That's why you
would
know.
Can you explain that to...
So the Mirakuru serum, that was the thing that made... who is it? Slade Wilson. That made him go insane, but it also like gave him the super agility and
the
superpower.
It's equivalent to Captain America.
It's like a super. Like a super soldier serum.
Got it.
But and it was found on the same island that that Oliver Queen was stranded on for 5 years.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Which is interesting because on that island too, they had a boat named Amazo. I don't know if you guys remember this. Oh. This is like first or second season of Arrow. They had a boat named Amazo.
Yeah.
And so them bringing Amazo back in now in order to for the Flash and actually doing him some justice, I was actually really pleased because I thought that they were just going to leave it at a boat for a while there.
Yeah, and no, yeah, thank you for that. Uh-huh. I didn't know any of this for a second. I was just like, okay, this is amazing. That's why I was like, well, who's the evil genius behind this guy? And what's his stake in it? And Maisel's just kind of going around the city. And I do say that's my one critique about this. I mean, it's a crossover. So, of course, you kind of have to know a little bit about the other shows. Mm-hmm. But I did feel like even with Kara and Clark, when they were talking and she was about to say something, I guess they're supposed, I don't know, is that, for those who watch Supergirl, is that alluding to some other secret that Kara already has that she was about to tell Clark? Because
what part are you talking about?
Oh, when they were in the pickup truck and they're talking, she's like, there's something I need to tell you. And then it stops. And I'm thinking, am I supposed to care that that got, you know, interrupted? You know, I don't know. Well, I think in the last crossover.
Oh, they were talking about from the last episode of Supergirl, the president had come to Supergirl and said, you have to tell me your real identity or you're fired from the DEO. Mm-hmm. And so that's what she was coming to talk to Clark about. And Clark was like, well, yeah, I'm not telling them my identity.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I just think in the beginning of other crossovers, they've done better to kind of give us people's backstory a little bit more. Maybe it's just one of those things where it's an event and there's always that one character to tell you who everyone is, like at the Iris and Barry's wedding. Mm-hmm. We got that person in the room was like, oh, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so, which was really good for people who didn't watch the other shows. And a little bit of that was missing this episode, I felt like. I felt like if you weren't well-versed in the other shows, because the way they were doing it, you wouldn't understand some of the impact of those scenes. That was my one critique of this beginning of this crossover.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. And Clark and Lois and Kara, they just all had this banter for about 2-3 minutes, I feel like. I don't know if I really understood either. So it would have been nice to kind of...
There's a Cliff Notes version.
Cliff Notes version. You know, something just to help me along just a little bit so I could understand, okay, so they're here for this reason and this is happening. Like, I don't know. They just kind of had some light banter going on in the beginning that I'm not sure I connected to the entire picture. But again, it might be because I don't know, you know, Arrow's.
Which is a little bit of a drawback if you're coming at on it as a Flash person and you don't watch the other ones.
Right. Well, I did like how they all came together and kind of worked as Team Flash, and Team Flash got him on board so they could take down this Amazo character, of course, with the brilliant suggestion that Sherlock had.
Why don't you turn it off?
Turned it off. With his tea and his pinky. Just turned it off.
It's quite an interesting man. Tea.
I hate it when he's right.
And he is right a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, on top of that, just before sending him back to Earth 38 with an alimony check, I like how they do that.
Oh, that was so funny.
The play on words. Oh, he's super. Man, can I trust him?
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. Didn't you just see him?
Yeah. Like, how do you not know?
No S, Sherlock.
They play that fast and loose too much.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, there was a lot going on. But that was a lot of fun, especially watching the fight scene. So, yeah, I think... I don't know. I feel like I touched on everything that I had written down. Any more comments about the episode that you noticed?
I was going to say when Barry and Oliver were going at each other, there was, and I saw someone online talk about this, about the fact that both of these guys do need these women behind them because, you know, Oliver had said to Barry, oh, if you don't have your wife talking in your ear, and then Barry was like, Felicity invented quarterbacking.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, this isn't really a dig. It's just more so we know that these two, you know, great characters need these women behind them. Once again, connecting that what makes these characters who they're. I just thought it was a great moment. So
yeah, that was great. Like you said, because he was trying to make Barry feel some kind of way about it, but at the same time, he's got the same thing going on. So that was good. Well, why don't we hop into this DC Universe highlight that we've got going on? Y'all ready for that?
Oh, yeah. Guys, so we have something special. I'm not sure if for all of you guys that were here with us last year on season 4? Season 4 of The Flash. I was in a short film about Batgirl. And at the time, I highlighted the first episode and now part 1 and part 2 of Batgirl Gotham, Saturday Night in Gotham is now finally out. So you could all check it out. We have a clip here of Batgirl and Robin fighting some baddies here. It should be playing in a second for you guys to see on your screens.
Nice.
And if you check out Batgirl, you'll recognize her from the Supergirl After Buzz TV show that I work on with as well. And so it's pretty cool, guys. Just check it out. It's a bigger story than what we kind of made it out to be. So we're actually hoping to make a third episode coming out soon. So there's some cool fight stuff, and there's a good story behind it. We got some characters like the Riddler, Victor Zsasz, and a few other name drops. If you go and check it out.
Check out this flip.
Yeah.
And a bow to the face.
Boom. Yeah, guys, so I was kind of excited to show that. I'm in it somewhere else here. There I am. Okay.
Hiding in the corner.
yeah, so go on and check it out. Batgirl Friday Night in Gotham. Batgirl Saturday Night in Gotham Part 1 and Part 2. Yeah. And we'd love the shares and likes and everything, so cool.
Yeah. Let me get your autograph. And it's just in time
for the
Batwoman that's come on, which, you know, people in the chat were just mentioning. Derek Hogan was saying about Batwoman. She makes an appearance because they're going to Gotham.
Gotham City.
In the part two, which is going to be interesting. I'm interested to see. I'll admit, Batgirl isn't my fave DC character most of the time. So I'm interested to see what this interpretation of her is going to be like. So.
Yeah. I'd have to agree. It looks like it's going to be fun, at least. Entertaining.
Well, it's Gotham. I don't know how dark it might be.
Right.
How dark they might allow it.
Gotham? Gotham gets pretty dark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about Arrow. I'm not.
Y'all are going to get on me.
I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to say, let's see how they're going to have to compare and contrast the real Gotham to...
to Star City?
Yeah. Since they have the same kind of tone.
And have had similar villains.
Yep. Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
Ra's al Ghul. Ra's al Ghul.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. So let's jump. Thank you so much for sharing that, Zach.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Thanks for allowing me to share it. So.
It looks good, man.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
I'm excited.
It's time for news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Well, not a lot, just two main points. One on comic book history, in a way, and the fact that was Iris West originally going to die in 1967? We know, for those who pay attention to the comic, that she did actually die in 1979, and there was a whole thing around that, but CBR.com recently did a segment in their Comic Legends series, and what we're showing is a picture of one of those comic books on Iris West, and if the leading lady was set to die over 40 years ago of the Flash. Back in the 1970s, there was a major death in 1979, but it was actually originally was supposed to happen back in 1967 in issue 176, where it was John Broome's one of the writers of the Flash, his final issue, where he was going to have Flash race death itself to save Iris, and supposedly, I guess he wasn't going to win. So, but he ended up not doing that, and it's kind of one of the things they talk about was how major that could have been, because this was kind of in like late 1960s. They weren't doing total like major character deaths by then. This was before Gwen.
She
and
was
all
murdered,
of
though. I think, right? In it?
Yeah, she was murdered eventually. She was murdered by Reverse Flash. Yeah. And I'm still wondering if they're ever going to do that on the show itself. Oh, how that might happen.
Still out there.
Yeah. And we see Reverse Flash in episode 100. So that's interesting. So, I thought it'd be cool to show some little comic book history with, you know, the great centralizing they've been doing of Iris West lately in our live action of The Flash. Also, there's some gossip going on with following the 100th episode of The Flash. They may have revealed the Legion of Doom with Nora as a member, perhaps.
Wait a minute.
So, I know. Gas. So, introduced as the main menace of Legends of Tomorrow, and the second season of Legends of Tomorrow, the Legion of Doom was comprised of various villains who had already met defeat at the hands of the heroes of the Arrowverse, one of them being Reverse Flash, led by Thawne. So, the Legion of Doom sought the Spear of Destiny, a magical artifact that gave the wielder the power to rewrite reality. So, of course, we know that they were, of course, defeated. Now, we know Nora seems to be working with Reverse Flash, given the end of the 100th episode, but it appears we may have missed the part where it was revealed that she was actually a member of Legion of Doom. When speaking, there was the scene where she was speaking to, her and Barry went back and they were speaking to the AI Gideon. And Gideon, recognizing Nora, began giving her backstory and said Nora was also known as XS and was the fifth recruit of the in the rebooted Legion of, but Barry actually cut her off before then. So the guesswork is that it may be Legion of Doom, while others think it may actually be Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, because that's what I thought originally.
Which is also DC Comics.
Yeah.
So, but there's this kind of thing of like, well, if she's with Thawn, you know, where does that place her? So maybe we're seeing Nora at a crossroads at this moment. And I'm interested. I think it'd be interesting if they took the route of her being part of Legion of Doom. I just don't think she'd be an out-and-out villain. But then again, who would have thought that she would be working with Reverse Flash? I call that.
We all call
like, right. I call that. So, yeah.
We still think he's the janitor that wiped the names. Or at least I do. Maybe.
And that's the news and gossip.
Wow.
That'd be some cool gossip if she's Legion of Doom.
Right.
Fifth member.
Yeah, gosh.
That, ooh, that Oliver Hood just says Nora mentions Lightning Lad and season 5, episode 1, who is in Legions of Superheroes. Mm. So maybe...
Oh.
We'll see.
It's cool. Dot, dot, dot.
Wait a minute. On Supergirl, don't they have the Legion of the Legion of Superheroes already too?
I think so.
With Mon-El,
yeah,
and
in the future. That's way Star in Girl. The future, though.
Yeah, it's way in the future.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe it was convenient that they never named Nora in this episode.
That she was just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because wasn't Kara around? Would Kara have recognized that name? Or
But it's a different Earth. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So they're really trying to blend these Earths now? Is that what's going
to
happen?
Well, it's leading to Crisis, it's leading to Crisis of
Infinite Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it retcons everything into one Earth instead of like Earth 38 and 90 and all these other ones in the comics, at least.
And then there's 52 Earths after that.
Yeah, then they...
Then they root, yeah.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot of Earth. There's a lot happening. Yeah. Let's just not reboot the whole world.
So many
Let's
times.
Not do that.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it the way we got it.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I'm learning something new every moment. Well, now would be a wonderful time to jump into predictions.
Predictions.
And I think, Zach, you hold the speed force.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
All right, so I'm gonna predict. I think next episode, obviously, we get to see Batwoman, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping we get to have a pairing of John Wesley Shipp's Flash with Batwoman, and we'll get a little bit more light shed on who the Monitor is and what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping another fight scene, but I can't think of who would be a baddie that they would fight against, because I love the pairing of all these guys coming together. So. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, we're going to get Batgirl, so that'll be interesting. Yeah, okay, Batwoman. I think that'll be interesting. And I don't know. I feel like I'm wondering how much this will have effect besides the characterizations that we were talking about with the rest of the season, or if this is going to be one of those self-contained, oh, that was crazy, and Batgirl, Batwoman, backdoor pilot. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I know that Batwoman pilot is being made.
Yeah.
That I know already. Wait, are we making Elseworld predictions or Flash predictions? I got a Flash prediction.
Let's hear it.
I think that Nora is working with Reverse Flash because he's holding something over her in order to get... Because she wants to save Barry from the crisis.
Well, yeah, he wants us to go
and
back to his time.
And he wants to go back to his time. So he's... So they're in... That's why they're in collusion. And then we're gonna get Batwoman, but that's not a prediction, that's a fact.
Instead of predictions, I kind of just am more excited to see, like you said, Zach, another fight scene. I really enjoy when all of them come together. So I don't know who's gonna be coming together fighting what, but I'm excited to see what they come up with. I don't know, I guess what is going, how, you know, with the part two, I guess we'll, you know, have to watch Arrow tomorrow, correct, in order to
tomorrow,
find that out.
Was it 8 o'clock, I think?
Yeah, I think tomorrow at 8 o'clock watching Arrow. So, you know, we're definitely going to tune in and see. I would love to see what unfolds with the switch or the switch back. Like, I just want to know what's happening. So I'm just hoping for clarity, folks. Can I get some clarity? That's all I want. That's all I want to see for tomorrow, so... I guess that's it. We did this thing. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I thought I was hearing things. Yes. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please come back and watch us next Tuesday after The Flash. And we'll be happy to see you there. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
I'm Jorge Payo. You can find me on all of my social media at TheElJorge. That's TheElJorge. And I also do the Supergirl panel, so you catch me on Tuesday night for the conclusion of Elseworlds.
Hey, y'all, it's Chauncey K. Robinson. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Chauncey KR, at Rotten Tomatoes, as I am an official film and TV critic there, and also on DC Titans this Sunday coming up, because you just saw me like an hour ago on that panel as well.
And guys, my name is Zach Silverman. You can find me all across social media at Zach, C-H Silverman 2, and we will be back on Tuesday night for Supergirl at 9 o'clock. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, go on YouTube and watch your Batgirl.
Yeah, please go on and check out Batgirl Friday night and Saturday night in Gotham.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.